Ladies and gentlemen, I'm being joined now by Colonel Anthony Aguilar. We did a phenomenal panel show last week on Friday with him and Joe Kent. Got into Section 224, got into the Iran war, got into everything. News moves so fast that now over the weekend, now it's Tuesday already. It feels like a month in the future. We've got this prospective MOU. So I just asked Suleiman about it. He's a frequent guest over on Moral Resistance as well. Definitely a YouTube channel worth following, Moral Resistance on YouTube. Anthony Aguilar, how are you doing? And what's your opinion on the facts on the ground today? Hold on, we got audio problem. I don't know why I can't hear you. I apologize. Got a bit of an audio problem there. Okay. I'm still unable to hear you. It's all good. We'll cover it here in a second. While y'all worked it out with him, I'm going to read this article really quick from the Financial Times. Iran's government thinks it has won the war. I mean, thinks it's won the war. I mean, look at the MOU. I mean, they're going to get $300 billion, right? Iran state television blasted out victory anthems. Of course, you think that was what's going to happen if they're going to be given, you know, billions of dollars and the war is going to be over and the U.S. is going to withdraw. I really want to talk to Anthony about all this stuff, guys. Do we have his audio figured out?
How about now?
Oh, I got you. I got you in my ear. Thank you so much. You're saving me today. How are you doing, Anthony?
It was a fault on my end. My Bluetooth disconnected, but I'm back now.
Gotcha.
Yeah, as I read through the memorandum of understanding and where it stands right now, and to remind everyone, it hasn't been signed yet. There's been signing of accepting the MOU as it is before we go into signing of the official acknowledgement of it on Friday the 19th. I believe that's going to take place in Switzerland. But looking at the MOU as it stands now, this is unquestionably victory for Iran.
Right.
And the reason is such is that the United States embarked upon this war without clear, strategic, winnable, achievable objectives, which simply sets a nation on a course of failure.
Yes.
And what we're seeing in this MOU reflects exactly that. When we look at each aspect of what Iran has gained, of what Iran has lost, of what the United States has gained, of what the United States has lost, this is a clear win for Iran.
Right.
Now and in the future, if this MOU, one, if it lasts till Friday, because there's always the Israel question.
Yes.
And beyond Friday, going into this 60-day period, if it survives that. This MOU is no more than an agreement upon terms of a ceasefire, right, not an end to the war.
Yeah, it's an agreement to negotiate further with that 60-day period that could possibly be stretched out, you know, and I would think just going back into history, look at other conflicts that have kind of been prolonged and then strung out, look at North Korea, South Korea. Do you think, and really quick, just a short answer here, because we got a network break coming up in like a minute and a half. Do you think long-term peace is achievable with the current governments involved?
I think that long-term peace is achievable, though it may be tenuous. It is achievable with the U.S. and Iran. As long as Israel is involved, no.
I agree with that. We're going to be right back with Colonel Anthony Aguilar. I want to remind everybody it's going to be important to go to thealexjonesstore.com for the best supplements, the best vitamins, minerals, nutraceuticals, as well as the apparel. I'm going to keep plugging it because it's important for people to know. We've got the new belt. We've got the new nylon tactical belt. We've got three variations on that. That is available right now at thealexjonesstore.com for only $39.99. Support the operation. Support independent media. These are high-quality products you need already. We've got the wallets. We've got knives. We've got belts. You name it. If you want to support independent media, money don't go anywhere else other than to sponsor this operation. You want everything we've got available at thealexjonesstore.com. We are going to be right back with Anthony Aguilar, a Green Beret, Lieutenant Colonel, and a Special Forces officer. Thank you so much. We'll be right back after the break.
InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on alexjoneslive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
The best 3 hours on the internet besides the Alex Jones Show on radio and TV as well, wherever you're watching us. Thank you so much. The War Room Live, your guest host, Rex Jones, in studio. We had Suleiman on earlier today. We're discussing the details of the leaked draft of the MOU, its possibility, probability, and the other factors in the region. Joining me now is Colonel Anthony Aguilar. Anthony, we were talking on the break about the possibility of, you know, some sort of a surprise ingredient that Israel throws in before Friday to derail the memorandum of understanding. Getting further into that, what do you think? What kind of black swan event could be creeping around the corner?
Well, I think that we know that Israel will continue attacks in Lebanon, regardless of the verbiage of this memorandum of understanding.
Right.
What we've seen is what I would call patience exercised by Iran in commitment to this MOU and not responding to the strikes that we've already seen yesterday and today by Israel directly in the face of this working agreement between the United States and Iran. So I think that Israel is going to launch major attacks into Lebanon, against Beirut, into more forces into the south. There has been reports that Israeli forces are moving in the south, but reconsolidating, reorganizing, and reestablishing composition and disposition for a future attack could look like a withdrawal to a certain point, depending on what Israel's tactical plan is or what type of attacks they intend to do, whether that be by air or by artillery or larger munitions.
Right.
So what we're seeing on the battlefield in southern Lebanon, to me, does not look like a withdrawal. It looks like a reconsolidation and reorganization, much like what we saw U.S. forces in World War II in the Battle of the Bulge, where we pulled out to reconsolidate to then push back against the Germans and break the line.
Right.
This could be something along those lines. I don't take it as a retreat or withdrawal. And I think that Israel has planned some sort of larger attack against Lebanon to really push the limits, push the terms of this agreement that Israel does not want the United States to go into.
Right.
I think that's been made very clear to us by the response in Israel and also by the response by AIPAC here in the United States. AIPAC
right.
made a formal statement stating that Israel should retain the right to reserve continued attacks in Lebanon.
Oh, no.
That should be very clear where AIPAC stands on this.
Wow, that's brutal. And this is the thing is like, we're the voters. We're supposed to vote for anti-war, pro-peace policy, which is what we thought we elected in Trump. And this is why I'm so passionately anti-war and against all this now, really against him, is promises were made and those same promises were broken. Now we see him come out and he admits the truth, Anthony, on tape, on video. He's sitting with the UAE and he goes, yeah, well, you don't have to blow up an entire building to get one guy. And like he mentions a drone attack,
yes.
mentions a disproportionate response. He knows. He knows why this is continuing. He understands what the axis of resistance is and the fact that they say, hey, we want a complete stop, a ceasefire on all fronts. That includes Lebanon. Netanyahu can't just go blow up an entire apartment block or city block whenever he feels like it. What is the military reality for people, you know, in senior levels of our government, our military, our armed forces that have to essentially sit on their hands and watch stuff like this happen?
He's done an amazing job of pulling it together. He's not a Boy Scout, but he's done an amazing job of pulling it together. And he is very good with Hezbollah, does not like them. And I'll tell you what, Israel's fighting Hezbollah too long and too many people are being killed. And you don't have to knock down an apartment house every time you're looking for somebody, because there are a lot of people in those apartment houses and they're not all Hezbollah, that I can tell you.
All right. What are your thoughts on that shocking admission?
I'll tell you, that is the, I think in the time that I've seen that Donald Trump has been president, the clearest admonishment of military tactics employed by Israel in Lebanon. It right. also clearly applies to Gaza.
Yes.
That in order to go after one person or a leader, you don't have to level an entire neighborhood or an entire apartment complex.
Right.
And Donald Trump made that very clear in his way of showing that, yeah, it's not okay. And the world is tired of it.
Right.
And the reason, and here's what exposes that even further. And the president acknowledging this then leads even those in MAGA or the base to ask, yeah, why do they do that? So when you look at this, it clearly reveals that the Israeli Defense Forces, the IDF, are not a good army.
Right.
They are not an effective, proficient, capable military. They are very capable of dropping 2,000-pound bombs from F-35s, of which we have given them, and dropping bombs from which we have given them, on dropping on using intelligence and targets for which they have gotten, that we have helped them with.
Sure.
But when it comes to going in on the ground, as we've seen in southern Lebanon, toe-to-toe on the ground, Hezbollah versus the IDF lose. On the ground in Gaza, the IDF versus Hamas, the IDF loses.
Right.
The IDF is not a good army. They have a very good bombing force. They have a very good force that can kill women and children or occupy land against unarmed, starving people.
Yes.
So when it comes to actually having to face a resistance or a threat or opposition that is capable, they do not have the capability.
Yes.
We've seen that.
Yes, and this is the key, okay? And I'm not a military man, although I'm a decent tactician. I think I understand history to a decent level, relatively decent level. Of course, not on a military man's level like you or the guy I'm about to reference, Lawrence Wilkerson. He says, look, they're so inexperienced and so used to rolling over on, like you say, unarmed civilians and people oppressing them, terrorizing them. They roll the Merkava tanks in altogether. They don't space them out. They don't spread them out. So they go, oh, Hezbollah blows up the first one, the last one, then the ones in the middle. They can't get out of there. Then they all get killed, right? And then you've got the Israelis sitting there that have been brought into the war, even though they support it and want it, and they're losing a lot of people. Netanyahu is not going far enough in their view. They want more. What does an expansion mm-hmm. look like? What does it mean if they're losing on the ground like you're talking about and they're not able to effectuate regime change or what they want from the air? What do they do?
Well, that's why Israel wants to continue this war, both not only in Gaza against Palestinians, but also in Lebanon against the Lebanese. And it's not just Hezbollah. It's against all
right,
of Lebanon.
Right.
I mean, we saw that 2 weeks ago, Israel targeted and assassinated a Lebanese army senior officer.
We got a little bit of a camera problem there. Go ahead and cut back to me for a second. So oh, he disconnected. He'll be right back. Everything he's saying is true and more. Okay. Well, he's talking about Lebanese army, right? That's not Hezbollah, but we're killing that guy or they're killing that guy. I'm sure the excuse is he worked with Hezbollah or whatever. I'm going to be very excited to ask Anthony what he thinks about Syria and al-Julani and the prospect of them coming in, because everything he just said about how it's not just Hezbollah, they're fighting against all of Lebanon. That means you're going to have Syria fighting against all of Lebanon. And how is Iran going to tolerate that? I don't think they are. I don't think that they will. Anthony's rejoining us now. Just a quick audio check. You good? Copy?
Audio check. I got you.
All right. Beautiful. Okay. I was about to ask you, with all that being said, talking about all of Lebanon, not just Hezbollah, that Israel's having to fight against, what happens with Syria? Because as we know, whatever they say, his name is not al-Shara. His name is al-Julani. He is the former regional head of al-Qaeda. He is a terrorist head chopper. He has killed thousands of people, religious minorities, Christians, Shia Muslims, brutally murdered them. And that is our guy at the White House that Trump is saying, hey, we're going to bring the Syrians in because the Israelis IDF isn't doing a good enough job. What does that mean for the Lebanese people?
Yeah, this is a betrayal and a sellout to the Lebanese. And, in Lebanon, you have a very rich culture of Christians and Muslims and Arab culture and
right.
Levantine culture. This is not just this ubiquitous where the United States likes to characterize Muslim Arabs as the threat or the enemy.
Right.
This is a nation that has much of the reflection of cultures and ethnicity and religious breakup or makeup as that of the United States.
Right.
And when you look at that in terms of, well, let's stop the IOF from doing it. Let's bring in Syria. How about we stop altogether? How about we stop occupying and bringing oppression to the Lebanese people?
Yes.
And stop with wars on all fronts and allow Lebanon to dictate its future within and to determine here is the threat of Hezbollah. Here's what we as a government ascertain it to be in terms of what we see as the threat internal. Because I'll tell you, if the Israeli Defense Forces were in a continuous, constant, ubiquitous, omnipotent threat to Lebanon, that perhaps Hezbollah would be more willing to work with the government.
Right.
But the reason we don't see that is because the Lebanese government continues to take the knee or capitulate to Israel, and Hezbollah isn't going to stand for that. Hezbollah is going to resist that occupation.
Right.
So to try to send in, it's like this idea of the old lady that swallowed a fly, right? She swallowed a fly, so she swallowed a spider.
Right.
So not the IOF, so then we're going to send in Syrian forces. Like, how about we just don't swallow the fly?
Right.
Don't swallow the spider to swallow the fly. How about we just stop swallowing things?
100%. And that's why I love so much what Joe Kent said last time when we were on together on the panel show, just declare victory and go home. That's really what needs to happen here. We just got to go. And everyone that says, it's not possible because X, Y, Z, Hezbollah, Hamas. That's my Mark Levin impression, if you didn't catch on. Everyone that says that is literally, in my opinion, as a broadcaster, anecdotally, an enemy of America. Okay, anybody that wants more Americans to die, more American munitions to be used, more American bases to be blown up, more sons and daughters of yours to not exist anymore, that is an enemy of the country because they're an enemy of the country's future. But you think about it from their perspective, when a Mark Levin talks about the country, when even people in the cabinet talk about the country, who are they talking about? They're not even talking about us. They're talking about Israel. Okay, Trump had a plus 23 3 weeks ago in Israel, people loved him. I'm the next prime minister, all that. Now he's negative 23. Now he's down 23 points from that point. Maybe talk about that a little bit. Well, you know, his real constituents.
His real constituents, you know, his approval rating has tanked all because the president does not want to continue seeking war with Israel's neighbors on behalf of Israel, under the flag and banner and resources and bodies and lives and blood and treasure of Americans. And anyone across the board that wants to be war hawkish and cheer for war, in my opinion, is disgusting and,
yes,
and not a patriot of any country. But then to want to fight war on behalf of another country while using the blood and treasure and lives of Americans to do it, and looking at, you know, that there's no win for America in this. Is
right.
Any more of a betrayal? And when you look at let's just take Afghanistan as one example of many in our modern history. But let's take the example of Afghanistan, to where each along the way, every year, we did not fight a 21-year war in Afghanistan. We fought 21 one-year wars in Afghanistan, to where the strategy always changed. The objective always changed. The this is going to win the war golden prize has always changed. And it changed over and over and over and over and over and over again. And there were points along the way where if we would have just left, if we would have just said, you know what, we've achieved what we needed for U.S. security. We can't fix everything. We're only going to make things worse. Let's just leave. But we get into this sunk cost theory of, oh, we've put so much into it, we have to stay. And at the end of it, all said and done, when we left and the big bad Taliban that we've always said hates America and would kill us at the earliest chance they got, there we are on the tarmac, on the runway of Hamid Karzai International Airport, negotiating with and begging the Taliban to cover our backs as we left so we wouldn't get shot out of the sky by ISIS Khorasan. And negotiating with the Taliban. And when that came to be, did the Taliban want us to leave under threat and duress? No, the Taliban were like, yeah, leave.
Right.
We wanted you to leave for years.
Right.
Leave, and this won't be a problem. You won't be a problem. We won't be a problem. Leave.
Right.
So what we're now realizing in this situation now is like, huh, You know, maybe it shouldn't take us 20 years to realize we made a really bad mistake. We shouldn't have gone into this war. The evidence was clear from day one, from February 27th, before the alert was made to conduct these strikes on the 28th. It was a bad idea. But to think that we're not going to spend 20 years and billions of dollars learning that mistake, and that we're saying now is the time, okay, cut what we have and leave.
Yes.
It's not a win, but it's not necessarily a loss.
Yeah, hey.
I think the U.S. This is kind of a draw.
Yeah, it's a bad thing to get addicted to drugs, right? But you get addicted, you withdraw, you recover, you go through it, and then you're sober again. The country needs to sober up. We're high, we're literally IV drug mainlining innocent civilian blood to keep us in this frenzy. Yes. And it's got to end. And it's this really demonic spirit
expensive habit.
Yes. So go ahead and go into that a little bit.
Well, I'm saying, you know, like the analogy that you made with drugs. I mean, war is an expensive endeavor.
Yes.
From, you know, not just the military industrial complex and what it charges per missile or per bullet or per tank in the billions of billions, but think about this war with Iran, and this is reflected right now in our National Defense Authorization Act. And I would say that the most existential threat to America right now isn't a country or a terrorist organization or an enemy. The biggest threat to our nation's security right now is our national debt.
Yes.
Because when I had a top secret security clearance, they look through your whole history of your life and mistakes you may have made. But the number one indicator to where you might be a threat to national security is your debt. Do you have a whole bunch of debt? Because can you be paid off? Can you be bought off?
Right.
Well, right now, when you look at our national debt and the level that it's at, that is our greatest threat to security. And when you look at this particular war with Iran, this war was not forecasted. This war was not budgeted. So last year, when the United States cut its National Defense Authorization Act for $196 billion, this war was not included in that. And now when the United States is looking at our next NDAA, right now, the one that includes this giving the farm away to Israel for $1.55 trillion, that also doesn't include the cost that we've incurred, about $500 billion, from this war with Iran.
Yes.
So that has to be reconciled.
Yes.
So when the pen is signed and the ink dries on the National Defense Authorization Act for 2027, it's going to be over $2 trillion. And we can't afford it.
That's what Americans need to understand. Our national debt is greater than our treasury reserve. Like you said last time, it's just one sentence, but it's intolerable. We cannot live like this. And even more so than that, we cannot have an executive agent that is appointed by the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of War, to be a secondary Secretary of Defense or Secretary of War that only answers to the president and does not answer to Congress, and is to put Israel, this is what the bill says, verbatim, in ascendancy. In all forms of R&D, technological development, military use, whatever. It is literally a marriage of our two countries. And I think that's something that really, like, 80 to 90% of Americans, if they had it explained to them, they wouldn't want that. And that's what gives me hope moving forward in the future. I don't know about your aspirations, Ken aspirations, anybody's aspirations, but I really hope we really need, as young people, we need people with the experience to go out there to support. Like, I need somebody like a you or like a Joe Kent, like somebody that I say, hey, he's got the experience, he understands the cost of war, and he doesn't want to take us to war again. This is what younger Americans are going to demand, and it's going to be a thing as to where, I use this analogy, you have like a glass of water, and then you have ice over it, and the ice is gradually melting over time, but you can't pour the water out until the ice is gone. I love the boomers, my grandparents are boomers, we're going to enter an age in the coming decades where it's Gen X people, millennials, Gen Z, Gen Alpha that are voting, that are living in this world, that want a better life, and hey, hopefully, God willing, God bless, I got a lot of time left on the planet. I don't want to live in a hell pit that we created. And I don't think anybody does. And the key to all that is understanding the national debt and understanding that we need candidates that are going to prioritize making America solvent again instead of insolvent.
Right
now, we're insolvent. Go into that a little bit.
It is. Yeah, we are absolutely insolvent when the that great debt clock that you showed in the previous segment when we did this with Joe Kent.
Throw it up again.
When you look at the amount of debt, just the amount of debt, just the amount of interest on that debt is greater than our GDP.
Right.
So not only are we insolvent, we're not bringing in enough money to even pay the interest on our debt. So every month that we're, let's set it up like you're paying a mortgage, right? Except this is like a 1,000-year mortgage.
Right.
When you pay your mortgage every month, we all know that when you pay your mortgage, a big chunk is going to interest, a little bit goes to principal, a little bit goes to your escrow. And if you specifically dictate, I want to make a little bit of extra payment to that principal to actually buy down a couple of years in the future. It's you can do that. But in reality, if you just stick to that maturation payment plan out to the 30-year mark, you pay for your house like 3 times over just in interest alone.
Right.
Imagine, if you will, if every time you paid your mortgage every month, you were not paying a single penny to your principal. You were only paying off the interest. But in fact, every payment you made every month, you were only paying off the interest of that principal, but your principal was going up.
Right.
So, could you imagine the financial situation you would find yourself in? That is where our nation is.
Right.
So when you think about all of these things that we want to fund in the National Defense Authorization Act, let alone the things that we need to fund with the Department of Homeland Security or the Department of Housing or the Department of Education, of the Interior, all these things that we cannot afford, that is a clear and present danger to the security of our nation. Because
yes.
Who holds all that debt? When I pay my mortgage company and I pay them and they take that interest and they get to keep my note, and they have all that equity, they get to reinvest that note, they get to take that money as theirs in reinvestment while I continue to pay their interest, which makes them more money.
Yes.
Well, who holds that for us? Well, that's China, that's Japan, that's Russia. Based on how much we're going to give up to Iran in terms of lifting of sanctions, giving them whatever frozen assets there are, et cetera, Iran's going to own a part of that.
Yes.
Wow. Their tables.
Total victory. That's what they'll say. That's what they'll sell it as. They'll say, hey, at least we didn't literally give them money like Obama did. And it's like, that doesn't matter. They're getting $300 billion anyway. We wasted $110 billion in military equipment. We got all our bases and radars destroyed for unknown billions of dollars. The true cost of all of this comes out in the wash, 5, 10, 15, 20 years later. And then we'll all be sitting here having conversations, watching documentaries, reading books. And at least we can say, Anthony, that we're on the right side of history on this one, and no new wars. No more forever wars. No more wars in the Middle East. It's done. It's over. None of the young people will accept it. It makes me angry. It makes me very, very mad. It makes a lot of people out there very, very mad. There are still people blindly supporting this because they think it's tough. They think it's cool. They think it's something. War is a dead body. I don't know anything about war because I haven't been there, but I know, like Socrates knew, that he knew nothing, right? I don't want to know. I don't want to know about any of it. So when I go on my phone and I've seen the stuff in Lebanon and Gaza that we're directly paying for or funding or doing ourselves, when I see it and they tell me it's not real, it's something to be written off, it's just like that national debt. It's like they're playing a game of musical chairs and there's no music. Like, it's over. We're cooked. We're cooked. So we have to mitigate the damage. We have to get into how we're going to do that. Coming back in the next segment, I'll ask you a few more questions about your vision for an American future, what we can do as American citizens going forward. Anthony Aguilar, thank you so much. We'll be right back.
Three big announcements right now. We have the 250th birthday limited edition run of awesome designs for this July 4th, 2026 coming up. And they're now available to ship to you as of today, Monday, June 15th, 2026. And they'll be available only through July. They're limited edition. And then that's it. And they fundraise for the broadcast. But I got to say, I'm very impressed with the designs that Bigley came up with. I was heavily involved in this, in the concepts, like Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition with the rattlesnake and the AR-15, Liberty or Death, 1776 to 2026. That is a really nice shirt. I designed this one. Very simple. America, 250 years strong. And these are just very clean, Americana, high-quality fabric, very comfortable. Destroying Tyranny since 1776. I did that concept. These are very, very clean. I'm proud of these. I think these are shirts everybody would want to wear. I would certainly want to wear these. America, ride fast, live free. Just a classic Betsy Ross flag. 1776 free. They came up with that. I think that's pretty cool. Defund the deep state. That's pretty cool. I like that really clean one right there. 1776, 250 years of freedom. They designed that. Very clean, very nice. So you want nice, clean, patriotic apparel that, you know, won't get you stabbed by a liberal, but other patriots will know who you are. You can kind of promote liberty and kind of identify who you are. It's fun to wear these shirts, I can tell you that right now. You kind of choose your own adventure. You wear an Alex Jones shirt, then you really got to meet a lot of cool people, but you also might get a bottle smashed over your head. Hundreds and hundreds of great designs from the Gulf of America to you name it. That's a good-looking shirt right there at thealexjonesstore.com. New America's 250th birthday, limited edition, July 4th. Apparel now available. And right now, introductory, they're 30% off all apparel on the site, not just the American 250th birthday limited editions. It's only available for a month and a half. These designs are limited edition, thealexjonesstore.com. And we only sell you stuff that really empowers you because we want you to love it and be impressed with it. So we have a relationship with you. And so the only way you miss out is not getting our T3, our bovine colostrum, our ultramethylene red, our Shilajit, our Irish sea moss. They're all amazing. But if you do anything, methylene blue and the water filtration system, when you take this out of the box, I've never seen, I went and checked. It's the highest stainless steel there is. And it turned out it wasn't that much more. I mean, it was somewhat more, another 30% more to have this. But I mean, it's just standalone. Nobody's got anything even close to this. I congratulations, Bigley. I am very impressed. Very, very impressed. I know a winner when I see it. And this sexy beast is going to help so many people cut out all the garbage out of their water. One of the biggest things you can do to take control of your life. And it's going to fund this operation. So I am literally in love with this. It looks like Marilyn Monroe to me right now. I forget the term when you're attracted to like sports cars and objects. I've never been sexually attracted to like a sports car, though I thought they're cool. Never been sexually attracted to... I'm actually being a little sarcastic, but I'm not. I'm actually physically attracted to this right now. Okay, this is... Because I know it's going to help people. I'm being silly. Actually, kind of not. What sexy is it's great. I know a home run when I see it. And I know this is just another big victory. So thank you so much for all you and your support and Bigley knocking it out of the park.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Well, I got the final segment of today's War Room here, joined by Anthony Aguilar. Of course, phenomenal man, phenomenal Green Beret, wealth of military experience, and of course, technical experience dealing with the Middle East and all these things. I want to get into, you know, a more grand vision of the future, what Anthony sees as both like the positive outcome and negative outcome as to like what we could aspire to if we turn around here, if we wake the people up versus what's going to happen if we do nothing. Anthony, what happens if good people do something here?
If enough good people take action and do something, we can absolutely change this. The whole reason I'm actually putting skin in the game to run for Congress or to sacrifice myself on the world stage and putting my name out there, not being anonymous, not being someone that isn't sacrificing and investing in this. But the reason I'm willing to is because I do feel that we can make this change. I see a clear path, a clear vision, and it's not that hard. It's not that hard. There's just some. It's kind of the analogy that you drew with drugs, you know.
Yes.
Like when you're addicted to drugs, the path out is clear. Stop using them.
Yes.
That may take, you know, a lot of hard work. Yeah. It's going to take hard work and it's going to be real hard. And you're going to have to lean on the shoulders of others and you're going to have to ask for help. And you're going to have to realize that you can't do it alone. But at the end of the day, it's not a hard concept. And
yes.
I think right now when we look at that with the United States, you know, why do we continue to have members of our Congress in the Senate, in the House, that continue to vote for war, 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 war?
Yes.
Because much like being hooked on a drug, they are addicted to money.
Yes.
They are addicted to not only money, they are addicted to being rich. They're addicted to
fake power. Fake power. Yeah.
Fake power. They think that it gives them that that power. And you look at, you know, across the board, I find it betrayal to the nation. I find it absolute disgusting that yes. any member of Congress, any senator and any representative is allowed to or will or does take or receive money from anybody whatsoever at all.
Right.
Like, if you are a member of Congress or you are a member of the Senate and the House within our Congress, that is a selfless service job. That is a duty. That is a sacrifice of service to your nation. And the paycheck that the taxpayer puts forth to pay you in recognition of your service and sacrifice is enough. You shouldn't be investing in the military-industrial complex. You shouldn't go into Congress and leave 40 years later. Nancy right. Pelosi, this year when she retires, 40 years.
Yes.
40 years. That's 20 Congresses. She has served in our Congress from the 100th Congress to the 120th Congress. And I would ask anybody across the board with people that we've had for 30, 35, 40 years, the Strom Thurmonds who served until they were in right. their 90s. What do they have to show for it?
The country's gotten worse, much, much worse under the right. rule of these people. And that's the thing is, like, past behavior is the greatest indicator of future behavior. What have these people done to us? Like, what have they done to the country? They did Iraq to the country. They did Afghanistan to the country. They did Libya to the country. They did Syria to the country. Now they're doing Iran to the country. All of it over and over and over again, like the insane man who the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Anthony, what right. would you do to change things up? What would your different approach be?
Well, first and foremost, I would push to get legislation on. Again, I'm running for the House of Representatives. So my legislative pushes would be through resolutions, House resolutions. Right. But there is no limit as a representative of Congress in the House of Representatives to legislation that you can push forward.
Right.
It may not succeed, but there's no limit. Oh, you did you proposed a House resolution last week. You can't do another one. No,
It's about, I don't know if you've ever seen A Bug's Life, right, with the grasshoppers and the ants and all of that. And the ants, essentially, they have to work for the grasshoppers all day. And the grasshoppers come in, they terrorize them, they're mean to them. They keep them as slaves, basically. But when one ant stands up, they got to crush that one ant because they're afraid that all the ants are going to stand up. If you get one guy in Congress, like a Massey, like a Rokana, that's saying these things, calling out Epstein files or forever wars, all the things that we really care about, people start noticing that and paying attention to that. Now, the route of doing that, reason why you do that, is very different than everyone else who says the things that are approved by the party so they can get the money, the big special interests, the big donors, push the wars just like everybody else. You go in that different direction because you're not interested in the money. You're not interested in the wars. You're interested in the people and what the people want. And the people have voted over and over and over again, election after election. The people have voted against this stuff. So I think whether it's you, whether it's Massey, whether it's anybody going into Congress, even if it's just one more good person, that's a plus one added to the zero that we basically got now because they got rid of him. So, like, what do you have to say about not just yourself, but others that you would like to encourage to be involved in the political process, specifically with your experience, right? Because if I was to go up there and run, they'd say, oh, you don't know anything about war. We got to do it because Mark Levin says so. If you go up there and say, hey, these wars are barbaric, evil, and we've lost $10 trillion and the debt is unstable and we can't live like this, they can't really impeach your credibility. What do you have to say to that?
So first of all, I'd say in terms of participating in our freedoms and our process, I mean, freedom is not a spectator sport.
Right.
You have to be involved. And the first thing I would say to everybody, let's just start across the board.
Right.
Let's just get out there and actually vote.
Yes.
Like, let's actually exercise the most sacred of the rights that we have, right. which is the gateway to being able to change anything and everything, is getting out there and voting. And right now in this country, when you have 67% of 70% of the population that's eligible to vote, and you only have a percentage of that that votes, and you take it all down, it's about 48%. We have a 48% right. voting rate. That really, one of our most sacred rights as a nation, we do less than 0.5%.
Right.
So get out there and vote. But then
when people say, oh, well, we can't, we, you know, you're never going to break the party system, this and that. Well, we will if
right.
people go and vote for other candidates.
Right.
And, you know, if like, I'll give you an example in my district, the Republican incumbent, he doesn't even live in the district.
Wow.
So for everybody in North Carolina District 13, when you go to the voting booth and you sit there and you open up your little book and you see U.S. Congress, House of Representatives, District 13. Oh, that's me. Ooh, who do we have? Aguilar, not. Okay, who's this guy? Okay, let's see. Oh, I'm going to pick this guy.
Right. Oh,
the guy that you just picked, the incumbent Republican that you voted because you vote along party lines.
Right.
Doesn't even live in the district that you are in. He doesn't even live in, that's like voting for a senator that doesn't even live in the state.
Right.
That's like voting for a president that doesn't even live in the country.
Hey, like, some would say we did that
because people aren't informed.
Yeah. Some would say we did that. Some would say we voted for Netanyahu and not Trump and we just didn't know about it. And this is what I always say. I'm not a donkey. I'm not an elephant. I'm not on either one of your plantations. I'm a human being. I'm an American patriot. I'm a free man. Just like everybody else, free woman in this country. Every person should be free. We should be emancipated from a foreign government that's leading us to do all this and from the domestic people that are in our government that have taken it over and are using it as an opportunity to grift. They are going in there and trading on the stock market. Pelosi, all of them making millions and hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yes.
And then to add on to that, Anthony, this is just an interesting curveball to throw to you. I look at the prediction markets and I'm like, how is this legal? Like, how is this going on? We've got insiders that verifiably 100% with factual knowledge of what's going to happen, you know, just like, oh, we're going to trust them to not bet on it. What do you think about that?
Yeah. You know, Nancy Pelosi, as you mentioned, and others are exactly that example of people that throughout their time in Congress have used their opportunities in Congress, not only as a career, but to grift and to get rich. And not just be wealthy and not just make enough to be comfortable in their post-career life, not to mention the fact that they get a handsome retirement for the rest of their lives.
Right.
But they grift. They invest in the military-industrial complex. They put their bets on the odds of one thing over another, like starting a war or pushing for certain things. I'll give you something that I experienced firsthand. This is something that I witnessed, I lived, and I experienced. Where Senator Tom Cotton, he is a senator of Arkansas, Republican. He is the Intel Oversight Committee chair in the Senate. The person that just authored 622 as part of the intelligence fusion of the Mossad and the US CIA. That guy.
Yes.
So that guy, a couple of years ago when I'm still active duty, I'm at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, US Special Operations Command. We're doing a showcase. It's called a capability exercise for these different types of weapon systems. And he was there and, you know, they bring congressmen around, senators and reps to look at things. And afterwards, Senator Cotton was very interested in this. And I was like, didn't expect Senator Cotton to have direct interest in it because it wasn't necessarily he doesn't lead the Senate Armed Services Committee, more intelligence. This wasn't really an intelligence thing. It was more of a kinetic weapon, but he was super interested in it. And he actually knew more about it than I did because he came up and he was like, hey, did you know that the warhead for this loitering munition made by Israel, by the way, true story, made by Israel, that warhead that's made by Israel, they set up a headquarters and they set it up in Camden, Arkansas.
Wow.
And I was like, I didn't know that, sir. I was like, why does that pertain to you? And he was like, I'm the senator from Arkansas. And I was like, okay, seems like a gray area there. So you're pushing for this? So then for the next month, I had to prepare and then go to Washington, D.C. and brief Senator Cotton and his staff and others on this particular weapon system because they wanted to tell the DOD.
Right.
They wanted to tell DOD, hey, DOD, you want this thing. And our position, the subject matter experts were like, there's better stuff. It's actually made in America. There's better capabilities that are made in America. Well, they're not assembled in Camden, Arkansas. So Senator Tom Cotton, with his power and authority in the Senate as a member of, not the chair of, but a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee and in other committees, was able to push for the DOD to buy that thing by saying, hey, DOD, if you don't buy this, maybe I don't back you on that. And then, so now there you go. That is it right there. So this missile factory is now just outside of Camden, Arkansas. And where does Senator Tom Cotton live? He owns a beautiful mansion in that exact same town.
Wow. Go figure. I guess so, you got a good deal on that probably as well. It's pretty nuts, the level of corruption.
So it's not just a matter of power and politics. It's a matter of personal benefit to some of these members of Congress.
Right.
That's what we have to cut out. We have to get rid of all of that. There should be no member of Congress that takes any money from anybody, not from AIPAC, not from QPAC, not from ZPAC, not from SIXPAC, not from any PAC, from no PAC. No
I
money.
Agree.
Any member of our Congress, representative or senator, should not take a single penny from anyone. And they should not go. I'll tell you, every time I go to D.C., and when I go up there, I spend about a week. And every single day that I'm there and I go to the office buildings, the Hart, the Cannon, the Longworth, and I go to these meetings every afternoon, 4 o'clock, you're coming out. There's all these down up and down the hall. It almost looks like a trade convention of little social hours, you know, little champagne set up or little hors d'oeuvres and all these little organizations out there just waiting for all of the congressmen to come out of their offices to leave for the day.
Right.
And just, hey, oh, I'm so-and-so. Hey, I'm so-and-so. This and that. And just this little small talk that then leads to favors, that then leads to money, that then leads to the, before you know it, they're in the NDAA.
Yes.
And before you know it, they're taking over our country. And it starts there. That shit should end.
Yes. Absolutely. Cannot agree more with what you just said there. When it comes to all of this, like you think about your day, and they always say you're the sum of the people you spend the most time with, or the five people you spend the most time with. If you're an empty suit, if you're given, you know, like $500,000 by AIPAC to win an election, and you go up there to the Hill, and then all you have all day are these paid off lemmings that are ingratiating you to get you into their scams and their grifting and their wheeling and dealing, then what are you doing up there on the Hill? Even if maybe you had some novel idea of like a positive aspiration, you're instantly co-opted into the system by the very notion and idea of taking the money to begin with. That's why we need people like you, people like Joe Kent, many others out there running. People, you got to understand, small dollar donation is critical to getting new candidates in there that we can actually change the system and do something about what's going on now. I would like to see, you know, honestly, I'd like to see publicly funded elections. I'd like to see, you know, small dollar campaigns.
Yes.
I'd like to see that. We have to have a major overhaul of this system. The system doesn't work. And we can say it's
I think about elections, especially at the local level, and more so, you know, because all politics are local. But within every election, let's say in my election,
right,
all of these small dollar donations that I take in, that's not to make me rich. That's
right.
not to buy me a new watch because it's important for my image. If you want me to be your congressman, I got to look good in D.C., right?
Right.
I got to represent. I got to have that. Right. I got to have that suit. You know, like when, you know, in a small election like this, when you have that money coming in, that should be that's to keep the lights on. That's to keep the campaign running. That's to do, you know, your finance registration, your FEC registration, all those little things that cost money. You shouldn't be doing it to get rich. And at the end of that, let's say you win your campaign, then anything you have left in that campaign, you don't get to be like, "Woo, I'm beefing that up for the next campaign."
Oh, man.
Maybe you're 2 years in Congress. You suck.
Yeah.
And people don't want you after that. So that money that you took in to then get you into office should then immediately go back to the people.
Yes. No, 100%, 100%. They shouldn't be able to profit and build a future war chest.
No.
I totally agree with that. And that just shows you, I didn't even consider that, but of course they do that. Of course.
Incumbent that I'm running against stepped into this election cycle with $8 million in the bank.
I can't I'm going to fall out of my chair.
For a congressional district. What? I mean, you could literally pay every eligible voter in our district money as they walked in to vote, and you still wouldn't need $8 million.
Right. Well, that shows you.
That's what he had going in. And Brad Knott, the incumbent that I'm running against in this district, is an AIPAC recipient.
Wow. How much money from AIPAC do you know?
This year, just for this period, like since the election cycle began post primary, we had our primaries in North Carolina in March. He's up into the over 100,000.
Wow.
But here's the thing, and this is where you can see this trajectory. When he first started, this would be his second run. He's the incumbent by one term. So 2 years ago when he ran, or in 2024 when he ran and won as a new guy, it only cost AIPAC a little to buy him off. It only took a little bit. But now the price has gone up. He's gained some notoriety. He's a more of a powerful candidate. He's got a little bit more leeway. He's no longer a freshman congressman. He's going to be going in on some committees. Right. He's going to be able to be a chair in a few things, which he will do. So yeah, the price has gone up. That's why you see the longer people serve. Look at the Pelosi's, right? How much does Nancy Pelosi take from AIPAC?
Can we pull that up, crew? Yeah, I'm flying a spaceship here. They can pull that up basically instantly. Crew, tell us how much Pelosi got from AIPAC. This is why we need people like you. And I'm not trying to push anybody to run. I know you're running already. I don't know about Kent, but I'm so happy that you're in this race and in this fight. We need actual men and women in the arena with the experience and skin in the game, like we said last time, to where when you get introduced to this little like wheeling and dealing parlor trick stuff, whereas, you know, some lawyer chungus that gets the position because, you know, I thought it would be cool to be a politician, they're going to go along for the game. You've been to war. This is nothing. So, like, you're in a fight for your country domestically in that arena, taking that same energy forward, being a true patriot. And that's what separates you from these people. Nancy Pelosi, if she was given a red button that says, hey, if you push this, you're going to die, but you'll save the country, she wouldn't push the red button. She'd let America die. And the same Democrat, Republican, everybody, they have this position. But you're somebody different. I know you wouldn't push that button. Right. Like, I know that you would sacrifice yourself for the country because you already went over there to serve our nation, and coming back, you understand the true cost of all these policies. Go ahead.
I was like, look at Hakeem Jeffries.
Yeah. Go ahead and pull that back up. Make a comment.
For anybody that thinks this money, this grift is a Republican or a Democrat thing. Oh, no.
Right. It's two wings, same bird. That's literally what we're dealing with.
And some of these numbers you pull up, like I was looking at some numbers before, just kind of scrolling through AIPAC tracker and track AIPAC and looking through some of them. I was like, there's some in Congress that take well over multi-millions of dollars. There's some that are up in the high numbers.
Right.
And higher numbers, I would say. But when you look at that, to me, it's absolutely disingenuous to the American people to represent a district or a state and to represent the people, your neighbors. Like me, like the guy that I'm running against, he doesn't see the people of our district as his neighbors because he doesn't even live in the district.
Right.
But I do, like my neighbor over here, my neighbor over there, everybody in my neighborhood, they're all in my district.
Right.
They're the people that I represent and that I care about and that I love. So like when I look at it and I see, you know, my son going to school, my son goes to public school,
right.
He goes to the elementary school just up the road that is part of my district. And when I see that and all the other kids of all of my neighbors and people that I have served with whose kids go to that school and I look at them, I don't think to myself like, man, I want to run for Congress so I can get rich and I can send my son to private school and screw everybody else. I got mine.
Yes.
I want to do it because not only do I care about the future of my child, I care about the future of our country and next generation. Everybody should have the opportunity to live a good life.
Yes. And you used a word that's very important. I want to touch on that, love. We all got to have love for each other. Okay. This attitude of like America and we're all based in these racial groups and political groups, we fight each other. That doesn't work. That doesn't work short term or long term. We've seen the fallout of that now. You got to have love for your neighbor. And I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. Love thy neighbor. It's literally the most simple command given. Treat your neighbor like do unto others as you would have them do to you. And I think if we start approaching our government, our society, America as a whole from that perspective, we'll be a hell of a lot better. Anthony, in closing, where do people find you? Where do people go to support you? And any closing thoughts?
So I am running completely independent. I am running independent of any party at all whatsoever. It is me and the people.
Right.
Period. I'm already through primaries, the general election, obviously November 3rd. You can find me at www.aguilarforcongress.com. There you can find plenty of opportunities to either donate time, to volunteer, to door knock, to make calls, to contribute in any way that you can. But the biggest thing that I would ask for anybody in North Carolina District 13, more so than your donation, more so than your volunteering, which those are great. Those are absolutely necessary. But more so than those things, the critical factor in all of this, the critical thing, the coup de grace, is showing up to vote on November 3rd.
Right.
And voting. And I'm telling you, in this district, the incumbent Republican won his primary with 43,000 votes out of an eligible population of voters of about 716,000.
Wow.
Come on, District 13. If I can get 100,000 people, like typically if you see from primary to general, the winner will win if they've near doubled their primary vote. So if he gets 86,000, it'll be in a good. I can't get 100,000 people in the District of North Carolina 13 that want to take big money out of politics and want to stop selling our country to Israel or any other foreign government. Right. We want to stop with having endless data centers being built up and down the 87 corridor. I'm against all that.
Yes.
Or how about let's start as a baseline. Can I get 100,000 people in North Carolina District 13 that want to vote for a candidate that actually lives in your district? How about we just start there?
Right. Absolutely.
How about we just start with that?
Great points. It's your home and you care about your home and it's not his home. So what right does he have to say? Exactly. What right does he have to say that he cares if he doesn't live there? You do. Anthony Aguilar, thank you so much for joining me. We'll have you back on, talk about the data centers, all of it. Thank you so much, Anthony.
Thank you. Take care and appreciate it.
100%. Take care. That's Anthony Aguilar. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be in the chair tomorrow as well, hosting War Room as well. Really look forward to doing that. Thank you, Anthony. And thank you, Suleiman, for being such phenomenal guests today. I'll see you sometime in the very near future. I really appreciate it. Here's the thing, guys. If you're not out there supporting alternative media, independent media, and all that means really at a baseline level is retweeting the show, supporting AJN, buying the products at realalexjonesstore.com, or, you know, here, I'll just give you a list. Subscribe to Dialogue Works on YouTube. Subscribe to Judge Napolitano on YouTube. Subscribe to Danny Haifong on YouTube. Subscribe to Due Dissidence on YouTube. Subscribe to any and all of these channels to get real news, to get real information, real interviews. Suleiman, Moral Resistance, of course. Moral Resistance, super important to follow. And here's the thing. From a monetary perspective, it's just like running a political campaign. We need fuel for the fight. Go to thealexjonesstore.com for the methylene blue, for the shirts, the belts, the apparel, all of it. I love you. Rex Jones News on Twitter. I'll see you tomorrow. Peace out.
Birthday limited edition run of awesome designs for this July 4th, 2026 coming up. And they're now available to ship to you as of today, Monday, June 15th, 2026. And they'll be available only through July. They're limited edition. And then that's it. And they fundraise for the broadcast. But I got to say, I'm very impressed with the designs that Bigley came up with. I was heavily involved in this, in the concepts, like Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition with the rattlesnake and the AR-15, Liberty or Death, 1776 to 2026. That is a really nice shirt. I designed this one, very simple. America, 250 years strong. And these are just very clean, Americana, high-quality fabric, very comfortable. Destroying Tyranny since 1776, I did that concept. These are very, very clean. I'm proud of these. I think these are shirts everybody would want to wear. I would certainly want to wear these. America, ride fast, live free. Just a classic Betsy Ross flag. 1776 free. They came up with that. I think that's pretty cool. Defund the deep state. That's pretty cool. I like that really clean one right there. 1776, 250 years of freedom. They designed that. Very clean. Very nice. So you want nice, clean, patriotic apparel that, you know, won't get you stabbed by a liberal, but other patriots will know who you are. You can kind of promote liberty and kind of identify who you are. It's fun to wear these shirts, I can tell you that right now. You kind of choose your own adventure. You wear an Alex Jones shirt, then you're really going to meet a lot of cool people, but you also might get a bottle smashed over your head. So hundreds and hundreds of great designs from the Gulf of America to you name it. That's a good-looking shirt right there at thealexjonesstore.com.
We'll be right back. days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.